Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU, coming at you in week three of the regular season, week three waiver show. I am Mr. Bill DeCousis. I'm here with Mr. Tom Lang. Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
Oh, what an interesting week two. I just actually want to, before we go into the show, I did go 50% on our start sits for this weekend, and you can't get them all, unfortunately. I know there's one big one that I went heavy on, and we went with the best matchup, and we took the right thing. I took the right thing. It just doesn't pan out that way sometimes. You win some, you lose some, but again, you own up to it and you move on and you make the right decisions moving forward.
Do the best that you can. I mean, and I know that a lot of players we're going to talk about today, there's going to be, I think we have going to have less disagreement than we are in consensus on a lot of the guys. So I'm interested to jump into that. But and just as a quick reaction to the weekend, some of the games were pretty good. First of all, the Giants game was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. I can't believe that many points were scored. We're definitely going to be talking about some Giants players today.
But did you see it?
Yes, I watched after I got back from my horrific game that I went and watched. I watched the games after the fact.
Yeah, and I was very intrigued to see how long you were going to stay at that game.
I stayed until about the third quarter. The Jets game, if anybody's wondering, which horrible game
you mean,
I watched.
The Bills game? The Bills game.
The Tyrod Taylor game.
The greater New York game.
Yes, but one quick reaction before we jump into the waivers that I just definitely wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the Joe Burrow situation. So obviously Joe Burrow had the turf toe, I guess you could call it. Like, it's torn ligaments in his toe, and he'll be out for the next 3 months. And I want to say this without coming off as curmudgeon-y, but Tommy, this is what me and you told everybody. This is what we said, right? You have four players locked up with the entire salary cap in Cincinnati. No offensive lineman of any real caliber, no defense. Like, what did you expect was going to happen? Joe Burrow caused that horribly. This is an awful thing to say, but he caused this himself. So, I mean what did you said this how many different times? He's playing with fire. He's going to get injured, right?
Like, I mean, you're definitely a little bit more heavy on it than I was. But yeah, he definitely was playing with fire. I will say though, Jake Browning did step up for the team.
We'll talk about him today.
And I know we'll talk about him today. There's a lot of offensive power on that. There's a lot of offensive power out there. But again, the problem is that offensive line.
Let me ask you something just right off the top of your head. If I had to put a percent on it, how low of a ceiling do you put? Like, if Joe Burrow was at 100% with all the options, T. Higgins, Chase Brown, Jamar Chase, how low do you go with Jake Browning, who's a competent backup? I would say it lowers them to about 80% of what they would be. Is that about right, do you think?
About.
Ish. Yeah, it's
about.
It's not.
I mean, I do think that this is a big uptick for Chase. Not Chase Brown.
Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jamar Chase.
Really?
Yeah. He did get hyper-targeted after basically Burrow went down and Browning was out there. So I do think that this is a really good opportunity for all those Chase owners, not Chase Brown, Jamar Chase. Whenever I say Chase, I'm talking about Jamar Chase, not, yeah, yeah, not, not
You're
Chase
gonna
Brown.
Have to say the full name because
I'm sorry. Jamar Chase is going to be hyper targeted. I think this is a setback on Higgins. I think it's a setback on everybody else. I do think maybe Chase Brown gets a little bit more target share in the passing game slightly. But this is not good for his running aspect.
I think it just lowers the ceiling. I don't know if it really doesn't mess up their floor per se. I mean, they're still going to be a competent offense, but it's unfortunate. I don't know if I agree with you on, I think it lowers Jamar Chase's ceiling too. I mean, I don't, it's just not the same.
Yeah. Unless if you want to talk about last night's game, Brock Bowers being basically being active last night,
he'll be
pretty
right.
Much an hour right before the game. They were very conservative with an approach with him last night. I think the numbers are not up there, but it looks like he only basically played about 55 to 60% of the snaps. But there wasn't a lot of target share to that tight end element. I mean, he did get the heavier end of target. He did finish that tight end 16, I think it was 15, 16. But
Oh,
any,
that's
and you know, dis, but you know, even if you had a plug and play somebody else, see, I mean, he still did better than the other guy, that was out there. So, I mean, you're just, if he's out there, even if he's basically, you know, being conserved a little bit, you're still going to play him.
good. Any other quick reactions? Want to jump into some waivers here?
No, I mean, you know, just wish that Aubrey missed that field goal.
Well, we'll get to the Giants in a little bit. All right, so let's jump into waivers. So running backs, drop candidates. So we got a couple names here. A lot of interesting names. So top of the list, unfortunately, Austin Eckler, torn Achilles. He's done for the season. He was really highly owned everywhere. You could go ahead and drop him. It's unfortunate. Tank Bigsby, zero snaps. It looks like Dylan is the current backup to Saquon in Shipley's absence. I mean, we'll get to that a couple of weeks from now when we start talking more backups. I'm not really sure
I
how to
would,
handle the
yeah. I mean,
Saquon handcuff situation, to be honest, but
yeah. I mean, I would wait maybe another week. I mean, if you don't need to make that move to pick up somebody, but again, he is a drop candidate. You know, I'd
yeah.
just be a little conservative if you do have Saquon.
Yeah, Jaden Blue, I still have up here. I should take a victory lap on that. Zero snaps. Zero snaps.
He's
Okay.
still coming back from injury.
Stop. Zero snaps. Sanders is the backup to Javonte. Whatever. Here's one that I can't hear any argument from him. Caleb Johnson from Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Okay.
he's poo-poo. You know, I'll tell you something right now.
That might
You
be my
know,
favorite special teams play
hey,
of the year.
who? Yeah, that's wild. Who's the quarterback of the Steelers?
Aaron.
He makes the decision in the backfield.
Yes, he does. Just to bolster it, it's not just that one special teams play that was the most awful thing you've ever seen. Go look it up. Caleb Johnson had two snaps in the whole game. Kenneth Gainwell is the quote unquote backup to Warren. We'll talk about him today.
He's good.
So we'll talk about him today. So Caleb, you could just let him go. And so wanted to bring up both
That's
Dylan.
rough though, because that was a heavy, you know, draft pick right there.
It
Told
was,
you
but
to back off on him a little bit.
we told you, and we'll talk about and same thing for a lot of these rookie backs that just aren't panning out the first half of the season. RJ Harvey, Travion Henderson, we told you. All right, so last things on drop candidates. I'm not sure exactly where I was going to put this. So I've got Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford here. I don't know necessarily if you drop them, but I want you to tell me how we're supposed to think about the Cleveland Browns running game going forward.
I don't know. I don't want to touch it. Like
You.
that's it. That's it. I mean, like if I have them, I'm probably just the only person that I'm put, you know, adding to my roster or I'm keeping on my roster is quit Judkins.
Right.
That's it.
You drop the other two.
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm just playing the backfield, right? Like unless like I'm just having a handcuff situation and just as a just for instance. But I mean, it's not a high valued, you know, handcuff situation right there. So I'd rather if I'm gonna say if I have Jonathan Taylor or if I have Saquon Barkley, I'm gonna try to find the backup for him, right? I'm not gonna have the backup. I'm not gonna have two
Sure.
players on a bad offense of running, you know, for running
Who
backs.
is the backup for Judkins?
Think it's Dylan Sampson, to be honest. I mean,
You think they're
even
going
though
to
that,
phase Ford out?
yeah, I think even though that Jerome Ford basically, you know, had a decent game this past week, it just, you know, it was the factor of the system that they were playing. You know, they were playing the Ravens. That also was a weird game itself, you know, running wise on the Ravens side. And I guess we'll talk about that. But you know, I think there's a bounce back for that.
I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't know what to make of it. One thing that you might find interesting. So I looked this up, just on like the concurrent roster percentages, and it's something like there's basically nobody who has Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson and Quinshon Judkins. Like they're all rostered, but all on different teams
Yeah.
in your league.
Well,
So.
it's because of waiver pickups. I mean, everybody, you know, if you were drafting somebody, you weren't drafting Dylan Sampson unless it was a deep, deep league. You were drafting basically Jerome Ford.
And you're not like, nobody's clamoring to double up on Cleveland backs. So
No.
I get it. I would say if that's the case and it's not like you're doubling or tripling up on backs, maybe wait one more week, I guess, to for clarity on like, okay, is Judkins going to be the guy, you know, and
He
then
is,
who's going to
though.
be the backup or whatever, right?
Judkins is the guy. I mean, that's not a question. The team even said it.
Well, I want to see how the backup, you know, how they phase in. I think it's going to be Samson, but I think it's not a foregone conclusion there. So if you want to get rid of it, obviously Judkins is the guy to keep and roll with, like we said. Speaking of which, so let's get to probably owned. So that's sort of we're parlaying into that. So Judkins is probably owned. If he's somehow available in your league, you go ahead and get him. He's 57% on ESPN, 83 on Sleeper. Like we just said, like he the times that he was in there, they gave him the ball. And obviously they drafted him to be the guy, so he's going to be the guy. They've got some bad matchups coming up though. Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. But again, starting running back for an NFL team, it's always valuable. I just don't really know how to handle Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford. So you take of that what you will. In probably owned, we've got Ramondre Stevenson, who we keep saying like it's, you guys need to be careful with these rookie running backs. It's going to take a while. The guys who are there, the incumbents, are going to be serious contributors, have most of the snaps, yada yada. So Ramondre outsnapped Henderson by 20, and he looked good.
And something with that, I was a little honestly, personally, I was a little surprised that they didn't really get Henderson going this week. And you know, he was actually one of the start sit questions from somebody basically on our Sunday Live. And you know, I did roll Henderson. And I thought Henderson was going to have a better game over Kamara, to be honest. And that was the direction. Actually, that was the question that I thought that you would have went the other direction.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, the reason why is just the defensive team that they were going against. And I thought it was a better play. It was a better position. It was a great uptick for an opportunity for Henderson to have more carries and basically to see pay dirt. But it didn't happen that way, unfortunately, and it just is what it is. But you
I
know.
think you might have had paralysis by analysis there because you know we had Kamara as a must start and we did not have Travion Henderson as a must start. So by definition there, it's just like I don't know how you not roll that way. You might have been overthinking it. People get too excited, man. They really want that ceiling play. They really want, I want the
Well,
28 points
it
of like.
was, you know, from my perspective, I think it was a flex position. So it was somebody that was basically looking for more upside. But again, I thought that was the better play for upside.
Okay. Well, we make mistakes, but yeah. So again, Ramondre Stevenson, if he's available, I mean, he should be rostered. I mean, again, we'll wait and see how it progresses throughout the season. But it's so wrong for people to have said, "Oh, Travion's the guy. We're drafting him in the third round." Like, it just no, it wasn't the right decision. Jordan Mason, if he's somehow available in your league, go get him. Aaron Jones just had an injury, and first of all, Jordan Mason was doing great anyway. He's going to be really great for the next couple games. It's a pretty nice matchup. Cincinnati, the ghost of Pittsburgh's defense, and then Cleveland. So go get Jordan Mason if he's available. And then Nick Chubb, again, if he's somehow available on your league, should be on a team. Obviously he had a nice game, and it's not even close
Well,
the amount of snaps that he's having to everybody else.
yeah,
Nobody
it's not
marks, no
close.
Pierce.
He did have a nice game, but a lot of that one big run came
At
from
the
that
end.
touchdown. So you know, I'd be a little weary. I think there are other players that I have on my list as a you know probably owned, but you know if they're not, grab them. I think I personally would value Cam Scattabu over you know Nick Chubb to be valued.
I would never play Cam Scattabu at the moment. At the moment.
Well, if you're looking long term, you know, the season's a long, it's a very, very long year. We still got some time, right? We got 12 weeks of regular season football, right? So, Cam Scattabo, if you're watching the game, his target share and his touches and his which we'll call it, his snap percentage went up, right? Went up. The reason why it went up is because it was working, right? You don't put in motor, you don't put in Devin Singletary in there. They started the week. They started the first snap. Devin Singletary was in there, right? Didn't work out so well, right? Then Tracy goes in, and Tracy shows a little bit of flash. But the motor of that offense right now, and the mojo, is Scattaboo, and he has to be owned.
Do
I really.
Do you think he's graduated beyond handcuff category then?
Yeah.
Like,
I
so
personally,
he has
you know,
standalone value, is what you're saying.
yeah. You know, going into next week, I think that he's going to see close to about 40% snap percentage, which is not a lot, but still, you know, I think he could do something with that 40% to get you the points that you need in that flex position or that double flex position.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think I
No.
still halfway consider him a handcuff, but we'll cover that.
Another player I want to cover
Sure.
before we move on, because this is probably owned as well too, which is Bashaul Tutten. You know, with Tank being gone, Bashaul saw a little bit more of a snap percentage. He went from week one 6% to week two 25%. You know, so it's, you know, close to about 19, it's 19% uptick. But he did have eight attempts for 42 yards, two targets, two receptions, 32 yards and a touchdown. So that touchdown, which is what, you know, what really made his week. But again, seeing those opportunities, he does look explosive, and he is a nice backup for, you know, for Travis Etienne. He's obviously the clear cut, you know, handcuff, I believe.
Sure.
He's definitely somebody, if I have Travis Etienne, I want to make sure I have Tootin on my back.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, you know, and you and I had kind of gone back and forth about how we discussed this about like so we have the whole section at the end where we cover handcuffs that we're not really going to spend too much time talking about other than them. I
But I
have
think
big
he does have some
That's the
value
point.
potentially.
Unless if you have standalone value, then we talk about you. But if you think Bashaul Tutten has standalone value, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but happy to, you know, like that's happy to
Depends on the
throw
week.
you.
It depends on the week. I think he has standalone
Okay.
value based on what the situation against Grip is going to look like.
Okay. So yeah, let's move into general options. So I would love, first of all, I want to just say this because I have to get it off my chest and then we'll talk about the options, but congratulations, everybody, the JCM owners. Okay. You got what you wanted.
Not
You
yet.
got you got what you wanted. Brian Robinson got traded out and Austin Ekeler got injured for the year. He's out. He's done for his whole life now. Okay,
Torn
so you got what you wanted.
Achilles.
But stop pretending that's what you were anticipating when you magically saw one half of a preseason game and thought he was going to be amazing. Okay. If those magical stars didn't align, JCM would be basically, you know, like it would be almost nothing throughout the season. The stars aligned, so stop pretending like you predicted it. Okay. I'm not talking about you, Tommy. I'm talking about other people who we know, slash other people in the fantasy community. So if we could move past that little admission, let's talk about the situation now. Obviously, JCM is going to be unbelievable, considering he's the lead back, he's a talented guy on Washington now. With the options available. However, I agree with kind of Tommy's sentiment that he's not going to be the only guy. So whether it's going to be Rodriguez or McNichols, Rodriguez and McNichols are both widely available in both leagues. How do you see this backfield playing out?
I mean, I would like to see Chris Rodriguez not be a healthy scratch. You know, I think going into this week, he should not be a healthy scratch. I think they need to make sure that they have all three of these running backs available. I think Chris Rodriguez, as I kept, you know, preaching for the past couple weeks, is he would be the short yardage goal line guy. You know, and then Jerry McNichols is pretty much the same kind of category as JCM. He plays the same way. You know, he's more scripted the same way as well too. So here's my kind of little insight on the Commanders. JD Daniels has a knee injury. He's nursing a knee injury.
Yes.
He's uncertain for week three. Now, if he plays, what happens? He doesn't scramble. He doesn't move, you know, run as much because they're going to be a little bit more conservative, right? I would assume that would be the perspective look of that offense.
I agree.
Even if he is not injured anymore, I think that they may have triggered something. Hey, this guy is our vital piece of our offense. We cannot let him get hurt, right? So does he scramble anymore as much? Does he get 20 yards a game? Yeah, I think 20 yards is fine, but does he scramble for 60 plus yards? I don't think so. unless the field is open, the sky is green, sky is blue, and he's moving forward, right? He sees green grass. I think they utilize the running game, and they have to monopolize what they have back there. And I think that Rodriguez is going to see more of an uptick in snaps, or he's going to get active, and then he's going to see an uptick on snaps. I don't think this is a one man show back there. It
I agree.
can't be. JCM has not proven anything to be a one man show. He has proven that he could rush the ball for 44 yards for one rush and score a touchdown. That's what he's proven. Outside of that, he didn't do anything last week. And I will be very clear. They did go against a very, very good very, very good defense, especially with Micah Parsons back there. That is a very, very important thing for you to understand. But having said that, the Washington Commanders rushing game is not that good. They're not that good. So I do think that they need to have more key pieces back there. I do think you see McNichols, and I do think you see Rodriguez in the mix. It's not a one-man show.
No, it's not. I mean, obviously, I'd love to have JCM at this point, obviously. That's not what we're saying, but
I just don't see. I don't see him being a long-term effect.
it's not going to be a bell cow situation.
No,
It really isn't.
he's not built that way.
No, but again, it's again, I would love to have JCM at this point. Remains to be seen how they're going to handle. I agree with everything you just said too. The Jaden Daniels knee situation, he'll get better. So that's a shorter term thing.
Yeah, but I think if they're looking long term, it just scripted wise, I don't think it makes sense for them to say, hey, we want this guy to continue to run the ball.
No, I agree. I'll be really curious to see how they handle this, but I absolutely think that maybe left to a less degree McNichols, but I think Rodriguez is a perfectly fine, take a shot, see how it works out. It could be close to a 50-50. We'll see. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt, up until now, we had in the handcuff category. It's clearly not a handcuff. Kareem Hunt has some standalone value, and despite it's unfortunate, but I don't think Pacheco looks as good as he should look, for lack of a better way of saying it. Kareem Hunt looks basically as good as he does, and I think like Kareem Hunt's playing style like tends to fit the way the Chiefs play a little bit better. So at the moment they're snapping basically close to 50-50, and I think Hunt looked great himself. I mean, you can't deny that Pacheco has not been that effective.
I don't think anything. I don't think the rushing game has been effective either side.
Kareem Hunt looks good,
He
looked
looks
pretty.
okay. He looks explosive, but I also think that. That the matchups they come across, that they played. I mean, if you look at it last night, Genty basically didn't do anything against the Chargers defense. The Chargers have a good defense, right?
Yes, they do.
Last week, the Eagles have a good defense,
This is a fair point. This is a
right?
fair point.
So, and then now they're going against the Giants, good defensive line. I just don't think that, I think that they have really poor matchups. That's showing that, it's the It's making the fantasy mind feel like, oh, this guy is a trade away category or he's a drop category, when it comes down to Pacheco. I don't think so yet.
I never said to drop
No, I
him.
never, yeah, no, but I'm just saying he's not, from my perspective, he's not a trade away target. You're going to get very, very poor value for somebody like that right now based on what his production is. He's somebody to wait on. I do think that, you do need to pick up Kareem Hunt. I think he's a valuable
Yes.
asset. Especially if you have Isaiah Pacheco. But I do think he has, again, standalone value himself. Not to the, not to the category of, we talk about Gibbs Montgomery, the new, the reestablished Gibbs Montgomery of the 55 points or whatever it was this week. But again, he is somebody that, on bye weeks, I would potentially say, all right, you could plug him in as your, RB3 flex.
If needed, right?
If needed.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ken Gainwell. So, despite whatever lamenting you want to do about the their running back situation, although Warren had a nice game. So Ken Gainwell is very involved in that offense, extremely involved. Arthur Smith has them basically going 50-50, Warren and Gainwell, and basically Gainwell has like we just talked about, basically relegated Caleb Johnson to the worst special teams player of all time. So he's widely available in both leagues. You could basically get him. It's I see him like kind of similar in the vein, like we like the narrative we just talked about Kareem Hunt. I don't know if I would start him all the time, but if it's an emergency flex or running back three kind of thing, maybe get him in there. It's perfectly fine. The way that Arthur Smith is doing it, like if Jaylen Warren were to go down, I think Ken Gainwell just becomes the guy. So I mean, he has standalone value, as we saw, on top of the fact of being like an injury protection type of thing. So you could do worse on the waiver wire. And then let's just have a quick conversation about Rashad White, who's about 40% owned in both leagues. So he's still getting outsnapped by Bucky 2-1, but when he's on the field, when he gets touches, he is very productive. Obviously, last night he went 10 for 65 and a touchdown, to the lament of every Bucky Irving owner last night.
In Rashad White, we trust, because I went against Bucky in a lot of leagues.
And Rashad White, we trust. Can I just say, I was thinking about it today because we got Godwin coming back at some point, Jalen McMillan coming back at some point. If for some reason, like he has another good game next week, I would, and he might against the horrible New York Jets, like I would be really trying to trade Rashad White for something because I just, they're going to have so many options in Tampa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Wasn't it last year that the Jets played the Bucks last year, right?
I don't think so.
I think they did, and I think that Trey Tuck, or not Trey Tucker, Mr. Tucker, third string running back. I think he scored two touchdowns that game.
You're thinking of Sean Tucker, and
Sean Tucker.
I don't think it was the Jets. I think it was a different team. I think I
No.
know which game you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think it was them.
No. All right.
No.
Well.
I know, hard to, you think of a horrible game, it probably was the Jets. It's fine. It's all right. Everybody makes that Freudian slip. So let's just talk about the handcuffs real quick. So Tommy and I, like, we are in agreement about what actually counts as a handcuff. The definition of a handcuff is guys that have little standalone value as they are, but when their starter goes down, gigantic, gigantic value after the fact. So
Yeah.
we've got, I will just list the names off. So we got Trey Benson, Tyler Allgeier. By the way, Tyler Allgeier, who had a good game, but they're not going to run it 40,000 times a game. So just,
No,
it's not like I would.
I think it's game script. You know, something if they're going against a good offense, a really heavy, you know, really, really good offense, or a really strong team, I think that's when you're going to basically say, hey, man, I might be able to plug in Algier because they're going to be trying to control that ball on the ground.
So Allgeier, Ray Davis,
Let
we
me just
got,
cut you off for Ray Davis real quick.
sure.
I think Ray Davis may have standalone value this week against Miami.
Could, well, if they destroy them.
Well, yeah, because you know, I think maybe in the second half you might see a little bit more Ray Davis action.
We've got new addition, DJ Giddens for Indianapolis. He's the clear backup for Jonathan Taylor, and very, very obviously the back for Indianapolis, if they're going to continue to be winning and doing well, is going to be extremely valuable. New addition, we've got Bashal Tootin here. Clearly, ETN's the guy, but even Bashal Tootin might, like we just talked about, we kind of had a debate about it, if he does have standalone value. But Bashal Tootin,
It's game script for him standalone value.
Blake Corum for the Rams, Ollie Gordon for the Dolphins, Kendre Miller for the Saints, Cam Scadapoo, who may or may not have standalone value, but we'll see. Right now, he's the
Definitely
second
does.
fiddle to Tyrone Tracy, Breland Allen for the Jets, and Brian Robinson for the 49ers. I don't want to hear the word Garrendo after the last game. So it was what it
Garrendo.
was. Okay.
Garrendo.
To like we pointed out, we took Hunt off the list for all the reasons we just said, and we took Will Shipley off the list. Tommy, before we move on to wide receivers, just wanted to ask, for the owners who have Saquon Barkley, how do you insure Saquon Barkley, or do you not? You just can't
I
right
just
now.
feel like you can't yet, but you could take a shot, and I think that the shot taker is basically
AJ
Tank.
Dillon,
No, I think Tank.
really over AJ?
Yeah, I still think it's Tank.
I think by that definition, it means you don't insure him, I
Well,
think.
yeah, you don't, but if you want to take a shot, I think that long term is Tank.
Okay, let's go on to wide receivers. Oh man, we've got some fun names in the drop candidates.
Yeah.
All right, top on the list, to all of our dismay, Jaden Reed. He's on the IR. He's done for 6 to 8 weeks, which functionally means he's done for the season. High owned in both leagues. You could just drop him. That's the end of the empire. Now we're gonna talk about some Green Bay wide receivers in a little bit, but it really does, it adds a little clarity, I think, for that. Luther Burden, if you didn't drop him last week, could you drop him this week? He's still outsnapped by Zacchaeus. He's so far down the pecking order there. I mean, he's like the tight ends and all the other wide receivers, just let
He's
it
gonna,
go.
yeah, he, I would definitely let it go. And he's probably gonna be one of those guys that has an explosive game like week 7 or 8 or something like
He
that,
just
most
might, and then
likely.
just to
And
throw a monkey wrench.
then everybody's gonna go after him, being like, oh, it's Luther Burden time, but then next week he's gonna put a zero.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. It smells like that.
It's like a Thanksgiving game or something like that. He's gonna go off. It's gonna be on national, nationally
Yeah.
televised.
All right, so we got another name in the drop candidates, which actually makes me sad personally because I really like the player. But I think he's just bad. So
Mr. Raccoon.
Mr. Raccoon. So Xavier Leggett, who's about 40, 30, 40, 50%, and depending on what league you're in, he had one catch on 8 targets.
Yeah, this
The
was like,
last 2 weeks.
and this this that past game was scripted for him to have a good game. I mean, Hunter Renfrow had a really good game.
That's
I
right.
would, and I wouldn't say that that's somebody that I would 100% target potentially, but that's basically your Luther Burden week 7, 8 kind of.
In a game where they like needed him, it's funny. I was watching it. Like Bryce Young went to literally everybody else on top. Like after Leggett had failed him, so it's just go ahead and drop him. It's the end of the empire. And Darnell Mooney, I mean, he came back off the injury. Now, this is my only trepidation. Like, he came back off the injury, so maybe there's some, like getting back up to speed pains that's going to happen. But honestly, on a team that doesn't pass the ball that much, he's still the number three option. Like, Pitts now is taking the number two option there. I don't know how I would ever feel comfortable starting him. So why would I ever roster Mooney here? I mean, and he's
Well,
60% in both leagues. Like,
I will say Darnell Mooney did get targeted in the red zone, green zone, whatever you want to call it. So I think he does have some standalone value potentially. Some upside there with those targets, those healthy targets. I don't think that
I would drop him to pick up the guys we're going to talk about. I mean,
I would drop him for a guy that's on our list that should be on our list, that we should talk about as well too, and I'll talk about him
which I'm
because he's
sure you'll
not on
talk
our
about.
list. But yeah,
I would drop him
I
for
would as
every
well.
one of these other names. Okay. But I just it put it this way, if you drop him, I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. So if you want to like it just feels like it's not going to be that attractive.
No.
Let's go to probably own. We only got one name in probably own. Seems like some people are picking up the guys they need to. So Quentin Johnson, if for some miracle he's still out there, you could go ahead and get him. He keeps getting it done. Another touchdown in a low scoring game. He's not going to score a touchdown every single game. Okay. Just keep it in mind. But he's going to be involved in the offense. He really looks like he leveled up,
Yeah,
doesn't
and it
he?
looks
Like
like he learned how to catch the ball being a third wide receiver on that offense. I'm not going to go with the concussion thing anymore. I mean, I do think that maybe that like triggered a flip the switch, brought him back to his college years, but
You're about to get canceled off YouTube. All right, let's go to the general option. So I have at least this one. I know there's not going to be an argument. I have by far the top name on this list is Romeo Doubs. I think he's going to be one of the basically the biggest benefactor of the Reed injury. So he's 20% owned in both leagues.
Yeah,
He
I
should be
agree.
available. So the last 2 games, he's got 9 targets, 5 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. And should be pointed out, the Packers have been like destroying these teams, so the script has not been that well, and he's still doing pretty well. So with Reed out, I see as Dobbs and Golden. Like, I think the crapshoot to some degree is over. It's Dobbs and Golden, and I'm happy to grab Dobbs and throw him in if I need to.
I mean, obviously, if we're talking pass catcher, I mean, Tucker had a nice day. I mean, we're not talking tight ends right now.
Tucker's a must start. We know
Yeah.
that at this point.
But again, he's going to be streaky. He's not going to have he you could start him. He might put up 2 points, but the next week he might put up 25 points. So just be weary about that one. But I will say, somebody that I would potentially look at right now, he's still, on the PUP, I think, or IR is Watson. I would definitely look at him potentially coming back. He did get an ex
Maybe, but
he did
man, I gotta tell
he
you,
got an
like,
extension. They paid him, so I think that they're going
yes.
to, I think they're going to utilize him when he comes back. He is a big-bodied guy. He is one of their bigger body guys when it comes down to their targets outside of Romeo Doubs. And I think he has some standalone value when he comes back.
I gotta tell you, I mean, I agree, but he had a horrific injury, and I don't think the timetable matches up to when he's coming back. Like, it might
Then why do
be
they ex then why do they extend him this early?
because they want him on the team. He's a talented player, but like, he might not come back until maybe week 8 or 9. Like, I don't know. Like, remains to be seen on
Well, I
that.
will say if you do have a IR spot, I would pick him up and just
Oh,
put him on there.
absolutely. Let's talk about Troy Franklin and the Denver wide receiver. So I've always been on team Marvin Mims in terms of the wide receiver two in Denver. I don't know if I believe that anymore. So Troy Franklin just went 8 for 9 for 89 yards and a touchdown. And more importantly to me, he was on the field. He actually outsnapped everybody. He outsnapped Sutton as well by like a snap or two. But it was like Sutton and Franklin, and then like 20 snaps below, it was like the third guy. So I my opinion about it is, is it really going to be a crapshoot every time? Is it a game script thing? Or did Troy Franklin level up and he's the number two? It's not Marvin Mims. Remember, Marvin Mims had the good game the first game with the touchdown. So, and he actually, I really don't know how you define that. Is this a more wait and see, or do you believe in Troy Franklin? How do you see the Denver wide receiver two situation here? Because there's going to be value there.
There is going to be value there. I still think that Nix hasn't reached his peak yet or his average yet. I think he's still below average. And so I think that by week 4, maybe 5, you'll start seeing more consistency in that offense. But I think Franklin might be the way to go, the pivot. Mims is going to have his explosive games, but I think Troy Franklin is going to have his targets.
And Troy Franklin's available everywhere. So, I mean, if you want to take that shot and see, like see what happens or whatever, it's
Yeah.
definitely worth it. Let's talk about Wandale again. Again, this is probably Tommy's biggest victory lap from identifying him in the offseason here. Like, and he doesn't have to take a victory lap with me. I didn't disagree with him, but like from fantasy consensus, man. So Wandale, he's owned in about 30%. So hopefully he's available in your leagues. Through two games, Wandale Robinson, 18 targets, 14 catches, 197 yards, and a touchdown. He is a PPR machine. And the clear number two option, clear. Nobody else close on a team that's going to be behind all the
Yeah.
time. So like I think at this point he's getting very close to like you could just put him right in for most of your lineups, depending on the game.
Yeah, I mean, this was his most explosive game, I believe, as his entire career with the Giants.
He's had some good ones.
Yeah, he's had some good ones, but I mean, he's had like, 10 to 15 targets for, 7 receptions, 7 to 10 receptions for 42 yards. He had 142 yards, right?
Then the last game, right?
Yeah, and but the thing was, I don't anticipate that happening every single week. Russell Wilson did sling that ball down the field. He threw the ball 60 plus yards in some plays, and that's where you basically got this touchdown. That's where you got your Malik Nabers touchdowns. I wouldn't anticipate that every single week, but going on, somebody that's on basically averaging right now 73% snap percentage between the first two games, receiving 18 total targets, catching 80% of his balls, and his yards per catch right now is 9+ yards per catch. I definitely would lean that route, especially if he's getting looked at for some of those deep throws down the field like he wasn't last year.
I would love to have him on my team. I really would. And honestly, if you get like probably a good stat line for Wandale, if he gets like 8 targets, 7 catches for 70 yards and a chance at a touchdown, you're probably happy with a PPR flex that you got
Yeah.
in there,
I mean,
I mean.
he's basically right now your wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, that's putting up wide receiver 2 numbers, if not higher.
Yeah, I agree. He's very good. So I know you've got a few other names. So why don't you sell me on old wide receiver from Baltimore that you want to talk about here?
Yeah, so DeAndre Hopkins, I'm not, hey, listen, like, I'm not like huge on this hype train, but I will say, you know, I mean, it's not really a great receiving game to be on board with, over there, but he is getting the higher valued. What he's getting right now is basically, the tight end looks over there. He's getting the Mark Andrews touchdown
We'll talk
looks.
about him
I
later.
know. But you know, only two targets for t he's catching all his balls, 2 for 2, right? What the wild thing is that he was only in 35% snap percentage for week 1, 18% snap percentage, which is not something that you really kind of want to roll the dice with. But if he's in those percentages right there and he's scoring touchdowns back-to-back weeks with that low percentage, I might want to look at him as, you know, I wouldn't spend a lot of money on fab on him. You know, if you have a low end, you know, like maybe like the 12th waiver pick, he could be somebody that I could pretty much be targeting as, you know, my fourth or fifth receiver if Wandell's off the board. I do think he may see an uptick in snap percentage with his va with basically his production. If somebody's catching 100% of the balls, I think, you know, that's a high value asset right there. You know, I don't think he's gonna, you know, keep the season that way, but he might be somebody I'm willing to plug into my bench and see what happens for bye weeks.
Maybe I just don't like it, just screams of like, hey, here's a game where he caught two touchdowns and then does very little for the rest of the year.
I
But
mean, if you do it back to back weeks, you know, the
yeah, I guess you take of that what you will. And
Yep.
I know you wanted to do a special call out
Yeah.
for Dyami Brown here.
Yeah, so Dyami Brown, you know, he basically, let me just pull him up real quick.
Sure. Yeah,
So Di
as you pull them
I
up,
got it,
what?
I got it, I
Oh,
got it, I
sorry,
got it.
go ahead.
Yeah, Dyami Brown basically is averaging, it's 74% snap percentage between the two games, Carolina and Cincinnati. When Travis Hunter is playing both sides of the ball, I made this very clear. If he is going to be playing both sides of the ball, at 100% or even 80% on each end. Travis Hunter did get 100% of snaps this past week, but that offense is looking pretty scattered as well too. It's not really fully directed to one specific person. Brian Thomas is getting his targets, but he's not catching his targets.
If he could stop being a little baby, then
Well, it's just
yes, he
like,
will catch his targets.
I don't know if you saw on the sideline, but you have Liam Cohen screaming at Trevor Lawrence, going like this, throw the ball here, and Trevor Lawrence goes,
Is
pushes him off.
that what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but anyway, go
It's
ahead.
pretty much what happened.
I think we might have misinterpreted the signals, but anyway, go ahead.
But Dyami Brown did score a touchdown this past week. He did basically get 80% snap percentage. He is getting targets within the past 2 weeks. He got 11 targets. He has 8 receptions, for what is it, 109 yards and a touchdown for between both weeks. So I do think he is a valued asset. He's very, very low owned. I think it's around 2% owned, 6% owned. Yeah, 6% owned. I'd say Dyami Brown is somebody that I would be really looking for in a deep, deep league, like a 14-team league or a very, very competitive 12-team league. If you're not looking for Dyami Brown in a 10-team league, like some of these fantasy shows out there that they flash their rosters, and I don't think that you're picking up Dyami Brown out there. But in a 12, 14-team league, he's definitely somebody I'd be looking for. For massive upside, especially because we talked about it. Travis Hunter, if he's on the field 100% of the time, or even 80% of the time on both sides of the ball, that's a lot. That's a lot of snaps. That's a lot of wear and tear at the NFL level, and there is a possibility of injury. We've seen it. He's come out a couple times with little nagging things here and there, and Dyami Brown's going to be a benefit of that factor.
Maybe I won't deny some of the usage. It's been a weird two games for Jacksonville, actually. So it'd be interesting.
They just lost that game. They could have been 2-0.
Yeah, basically. And then the first game was the weird lightning game with Carolina. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of. I mean, the Hunter situation is really what complicates everything there. So I'm not. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out a little bit. I don't know if I'm that. I don't know if I feel as good about it as you do, but they could take. You know, people could hear what they will about it. Do you have any other names? Before we jump into tight end.
Not on my receiver.
Okay. Yeah, let's jump right into tight end. So let's talk drop candidates. I don't want to hear that. I am done. So I'm done with Mark Andrews here. So Mark Andrews, he's 90 whatever percent owned in whatever league. Okay, here we go. In a season where Baltimore has put up 80 points, okay, two games and 80 points. He has four targets, two catches, and 7 yards. They don't need him in the offense. They don't need him. And the trade rumors are off the charts with this. Most importantly, you've got Isaiah likely coming back probably this week. And as Tommy said, like everybody else is catching passes except him. You got Hopkins and Wallace and whoever else the guys are in Baltimore. Like it's just not working. I feel like you move on, take your lumps, and just move on. He'll definitely get picked up. Just leave him as a landmine. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know where he could possibly go that increases his value. I don't know what team is like that desperate for a tight end, but
New
it's
York
just
Giants.
the New York Giants. Well, we'll find out. But it's as of right now, I just think if you want to keep him, I don't know how you play him. It's just done.
It's funny. I could see if he goes somewhere, I could see him going to Tampa Bay. He has a relationship with Baker.
That's possible. Next name. So Evan Engram, man, 84, 86% owned, six targets, four catches, 33 yards on the season. And he's just looked bad. On top of that, the fact that he had the slight injury situation, it's just not happening for him. Let it go. I think he's past his prime. I think
His
it's.
snap percentage is below 50, so
Yeah.
I definitely feel like he's
Yeah. They got
somebody.
Troutman involved too. Yeah. It's
When you
just.
have somebody at a onesie position that you need your snap percentage to be a little bit higher there.
And Colston Loveland, like we said, Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet are vulturing each other in general on snaps, on targets, on everything. And, you know, he had a big fat zero this week. And then week one, he had the 2-point performance. It's just not gonna, there's just so many things going on in Chicago that it's just not gonna be worth it. Colston Loveland, go ahead, drop him. You could definitely find better options. So, yeah, just let it go. All right, let's start probably owned. If by some miracle Juwan Johnson is available in your league, get him immediately, put him in. He is a must pick up, he's a must start until further notice. We're gonna have Kamara and Juwan Johnson as I guarantee you for the rest of the season, it's gonna be, hey, who are we starting for the Saints? Kamara and Johnson, and that's it.
I will say Juwan Johnson's only 29 years old. He looks like he's 39 based on, his hairstyle and everything. But it could be the Louisiana kind of element. He could be a vampire, who knows? But I will say he is putting up points. He is in 97.5% of snap percentage between the past two games. He does have 20 targets for 13 receptions, and
The two touchdowns, yeah, he's
yep.
amazing. He's super athletic. He's good, and they need him. Rattler just is completely looking for him.
We made it very clear. I've made it very, very, very clear. That team is going to continue to throw the ball to the tight end. It doesn't
Yes.
matter what the situation is. If Rattler's there, if Tyler Shough is the quarterback, they're still going to lean to the tight end.
That team is going to throw to everybody not named a wide receiver.
And I, you
Not,
know,
not.
they do need to free Chris Olave, though. He needs to go. He needs to be
Well,
traded.
he just might. We'll see how that goes. Some other names on this list: Zach Ertz. Man, he just keeps doing it. He's about 50% owned in both leagues. If he's there, get him. I think he's a must start at this point. No reason to think he won't be the safety blanket each week. Again, until he like gets hurt or something. I'm fully on the Ertz train. Just keep it rolling. Jake Ferguson. At this point, he's about 60% owned in both leagues. Obviously, he had an amazing game against the Giants, but. If it should make you feel any good, he's about to play a team that just lit up 50 points. So I feel like you could just rock and roll with
That's
Jake Ferguson.
you know what I love about this? The top three guys we're talking about are three guys that I've been talking about all offseason.
You have not been talking about Juwan Johnson the way that I did in the offseason.
No, not
I
as much, but I
yeah.
was slightly on that train.
Yes.
But I will say those top three guys, well, let's just
Yes.
say us as in general,
Yes, we
those
have.
top three guys are three guys that we said, hey, listen, these could be startable every single week kind of players that are, not being drafted or very
Right.
low, late round drafts. You got to get these guys. These guys are actually putting up the numbers higher than some of these higher draft picks that you're looking at. I mean, if just look at George Glass, George Kittle, he's not even playing anymore. So, you better have gotten one of these guys if you had George Glass.
He'll be back in it. He'll be back in a few weeks. That'll be
Yeah.
fun.
Yep. And Billy will be in a bath, in an ice
Well,
bath.
see. Well, I don't know. After that last performance, Pearsall, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Last two names, like we pointed out last week, Kyle Pitts and Dalton Kincaid. If they're available, you go ahead and get them. For Kyle Pitts, Penix is looking for those short area targets. Obviously, Pitts did not have quite as good a game this last game, but he went 4 for 5 in targets and against a really good defense. He is the clear number two option. Penix is looking for him. You could grab Pitts. And Kincaid has way more targets on a targets per game basis than he did last year. And in a game where Buffalo did not have to do much, believe me, I know I was at that game. He still had 6 targets and he looked good on the catches. I think he had 4 catches. He still looked good. He's a necessary part of that offense where they're not going to have a quote unquote alpha wide receiver. He's great. You could rock and roll in the tight end landscape with both of them. So let's talk about general options here. So we've got Isaiah Likely at the top because, and he's widely available in both leagues. You should be able to get him. But just caution here, we're not quite sure if he's back in week 3. And even if he is back in week 3, I don't think I would throw him in my lineup just yet. But it's just depends on when you want to call it. It's going to happen that he usurps Andrews. The way they're using him now, all the talk and everything else, he's going to usurp him. It just depends on when. But you're not going to be able to get him. Like after this week, you're not going to be able to get him. So if you want to get him now, get ahead of the game. Now's the time that you get him. How long, Tommy, how long would you put it before Likely usurps this? I would give it 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be on the likely train probably most likely in
Right.
3 weeks, 4 weeks. He'll probably be back week 7, I
Oh,
think.
I don't know. I think they're talking about he almost was back for week 2. So he'll be
That's
back. It depends on how much his snap percentage is and all that.
I think that's not happening. So, I mean,
Really?
yeah. I don't th I think they're going to delay it a little bit longer. But
I think they're going to need him. They're playing
you need to pick.
Detroit this week.
He's not going to play this week.
I think he will. Okay.
I don't think so. But I think he's going to come back week 6 or 7. But I will say you should probably pick him up and just have him on
He's gonna be
your
a
roster.
he's gonna be a relevant part of that team
Yeah.
whenever. Here's what we agree on. He's gonna be extremely relevant when he gets rolling. Like it's inevitable. Harold Fannin. So it's a here's one that has the crazy percentage. He's actually 27% on ESPN, 66% on Sleeper. I wasn't so high on him last week personally. It's like he's the second fiddle to
I'm
Njoku, but.
still not. I'm still not.
You're still not. Well,
Nope.
if Flacco's throwing it 50 times a game, he's still very involved. You always want targets, you want snaps and stuff, and he'll get you those things. But we still don't know exactly how long Flacco's going to play for. And they're about to play the buzzsaw of the Green Bay Packers. They actually have a really horrible schedule. So the Packers, Detroit, and Minnesota. So
This may be Flacco's last game.
it just might be. I don't know. I think he makes it to Detroit. We'll see.
I don't know. I think this may be Flacco's last game.
Some other options. People are actually getting real smarter at tight end, so they're keeping the guys they need to keep. So we're having to go farther down the list. So we got Chigakonkwo, who's available in most leagues. He's got 10 targets through 2 games, some nice catches. He's looked very athletic. Cam Ward needs him. Cam Ward's going to have his growing pains, although, you're getting farther down the list here. You could do way worse than Chigakonkwo. Like I'd rather be playing Chigakonkwo at this point than Mark Andrews, but I guess you take your lumps. And I've got Brenton Strange. I mean, I Jack again, it's been 2 weird games for Jacksonville, but he's getting targets. He's got 9 in 2 weeks. It hasn't been working out where he's gotten a whole lot of points, but targets are good. He's likely to have some good games coming up. So the next couple games, though, some tough defenses. So Jacksonville's got Houston and then San Francisco and then Kansas City. So maybe not the best, but sometimes when you're playing against tougher defenses, you need to take short area targets more. So that's the narrative anyway. So take of it what you will. Any other tight end options that are available? Not the best on the waiver wire this week.
So I have, I mean, again, we talked about Zach Ertz and Juwan Johnson. That's all I got personally. I don't think there's anybody else that's valid to be picked up and potentially plug in. So, yeah. Unless you're looking for a really low target share, l lower snap percentage kind of thing, I don't see there being value.
Okay. Ready to move on to streamers?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the A stream for all you lovely listeners streaming quarterback and or defense. We're here to present to you the best options for everybody rocking and rolling through the waiver wire on those lovely, lovely onesie positions. Let's talk quarterbacks. Do you want to chase Daniel Jones? At this point, I think I do. He's about to play Tennessee, and he's widely available in both leagues.
He's a 10 IC.
Very good. I mean, you might just have to call it a day after
Yep.
that one. Some of the other options are really interesting. So Trevor Lawrence, who we have identified as being good the last 2 weeks, I don't know if I'm crazy about it this week against Houston. Geno Smith, who's available a lot of places, I'm not sure. At Washington, he didn't have the best game the last, obviously last night. Russell Wilson, who threw for 8,000 yards against the Cowboys, is not going to throw for 8,000 yards against the Chiefs. Tua, do you think he has a backup again? Kind of a bounce back? Like he kind of had a bounce back performance a little bit against the Patriots, but I don't think it's going to be as nice against the Bills. And
Well,
then.
he's gonna have to if he wants to make that a game.
Sure. And then Jake Browning, obviously, who's available everywhere because of the Burrow injury. So how well do you think he's going to play in his absence? I would say of all these options, I think I've got and sorry, we got Sam Darnold also, who just really tore up the Steelers. Give
It's
give
going
him.
against New Orleans and 17% owned.
Yeah, I would say on this list, I've got Daniel Jones at the top. Honestly, I would probably have Jake Browning at number two, considering the matchups, and maybe Darnold number three. What do you think?
Yep. I think you're on target with that. I will say Trevor Lawrence could have a pickup game again. It could be a better game than he did last week. Houston showed some flaws, but their defensive line is really stout. So, but I think that he can avoid a little bit more than Baker.
To take it what you will. Let's go to defenses. So actually there's a bunch of defenses that have some really good matchups this week.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. It's one of the reasons why it's like you don't need to spend, all your money on a or all your fab money or all your draft capital on the Denver defense or something, because you can just find stuff. So you got the Bucks, who are playing the Jets. Yes, please. You've got the Commanders who are playing the Raiders. Now it depends which Raiders are going to show up. If it's the Raiders that it was last night, then yes, I feel really good about it. Jacksonville, who is at home against Houston. Houston, who can't do anything on offense right now. The Chiefs, who are at the Giants. Do you believe the Giants could put up 40 points against the Chiefs? I don't. But again, you judge for that as it is. The Colts at the Titans. I think that's a great, great matchup. And the Falcons, by the way, the Falcons, who have a good defense, man. They really look great.
Yeah.
They're at Carolina. And Carolina, who should not have scored as many points as they did against Arizona. You got the Packers, who are much more widely owned, so it's not worth having too much, but they are playing Cleveland. They'll probably be one of the top defenses this week. And the Seahawks again. I mean, the Seahawks, who are much more widely owned, but they're playing the Saints. Of the guys that are widely owned, I would definitely be looking to get my hands on, I guess, either the Falcons or perhaps the Colts. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I will say this. The Packers are 55% owned. I would potentially, if they're out there, you have to grab them. They're going against Cleveland. I think that's a great. I mean, there's no reason for you not to have the Packers defense after what they've been doing. I think the Falcons and Seahawks are my kind of targets this week. You know, this week coming up. So the Falcons are playing Carolina, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Falcons are playing Carolina. They're only, you know, 1 or 2% owned, depending on Sleeper or ESPN. And then the Seahawks are 24% owned. They're going against New Orleans. I think the way I rank these is it take out the Packers. I go Falcons, Seahawks. That's my Connor direction.
Okay. Yeah, lots of good options there. Lots of good options here. So I would like from a fab or like waiver perspective, I wouldn't be wasting any of it on it. Just pick up one of the teams that you don't get because there's a lot of good options here for that. So, but there we go. That's our waivers for the week. We got our big preview show coming up. We'll drop that on Thursday. We're excited. We're so excited. It's been such a good NFL season so far. Any closing thoughts, Mr. Lang?
No, we appreciate everybody taking the time to interject with us also on Sunday Lives. Again, we also go live Sundays between 11:55 and 12 noon p.m. So if you could please join us on that, drop your start sit questions. We will help you guide you to some fantasy success. But again, if you could click the link, subscribe to our channel. We truly appreciate everybody that joins.
That's right. Thank you, everybody.